All right, for the next couple minutes, let's just, we're going to talk about Hebrews and this summer series that we're talking about. Let me pray, and we'll dive right in. Jesus, thanks so much for today. God, for who you are, what you want to do in our lives. I just pray the next couple minutes, God, as we start this series in Hebrews for the summer, God, that you just show us your truth. God, examine our hearts. God, would you see if there's anything that's inside of our hearts that doesn't belong there? Would you show us the truth of who you are? In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. So this summer, as you've known for the 5 years that we've been in existence, every summer we do a book of the Bible. Last summer we did the book of James, and this year we're doing the book of Hebrews. And this is really so us as a church can be on the same page when it comes to reading. And so there's a reading thing that you can follow along on. Lost train of thought. A reading plan. How about that? A reading plan that you can follow along. And it's real simple if you know your numbers. So like next week is Hebrews 1. And then we go to Hebrews 2. And then 3. All the way to 13. So for the next 14 weeks, including this week, we're going to be talking about the book of Hebrews. And really three things. When you read a book of the Bible, here's the three things that you're looking for. Who is the writer writing to? Who's the audience? What's going on in the culture around the audience? How does this apply to me? Super simple. I'm reading, I'm studying Hebrews 1. I'm going, who's the audience? What's happening around them? And how does this apply to me in 2016? Very simple. So when you're reading Hebrews, here's the thing that we have to see. The audience, first and foremost, are Jews who are at a crossroads. The crossroads is, do I go back to where I came from, or do I keep following Jesus? And it's a time in a culture where following Jesus is difficult. It's difficult because people are persecuting people who say they follow Jesus. And so the crossroads isn't so much that they don't love Jesus. It's they're at a crossroads because it could cost them their life. Not a reputation, not popularity, their life. That's the crossroads these people are in. And so we have to see that what they're talking about. And so you'll see things like Jesus is better than angels, and Jesus is better than Abraham, and Jesus is better than Moses. It's all to persuade and to get people to understand you can persevere through trials. You can persevere through bad things that happen in our lives. And I think all of us are on the same page when it comes to that, that there are bad things that happen in our life. That doesn't mean God hates you. It doesn't mean that God's against you. It ultimately means life happens. And no pun intended on the day, but the reality is we all are going to die. That is a reality, you guys. It's a reality that is appointed unto every man wants to die and then to judgment. This is a reality. And we've all experienced that. We've had loved ones die. And so he's writing to the Hebrew people, and he's saying, listen, persevere. Keep going. You're at a crossroads. So Hebrews 2:1, scripture, I just want to read this verse. It says this: we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we will not drift away. Here's what I want us to see. What God has spoken in Jesus must be taken seriously. He says we must. That means it's not an option. It means I need to pay careful attention. It's necessary. It's not optional. It's not negotiable. We must pay careful attention. Anytime it says that, we have to examine. And he also says, therefore. So we got to go back to the previous chapter. Therefore, what happened beforehand. And Hebrews 1, all throughout it's talking about Jesus being better. Jesus is ultimately the greater. It says he's a son that is far greater than the angels. Just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. He's saying, listen, you have to pay careful attention to what Jesus said and what Jesus did. That's ultimately when we're in our small groups, when we're in our circles, when we're in life and relationships, it should all come back to, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do in this scenario? What has Jesus done for us? And since he is superior and better than, we have to pay careful attention to what Jesus said. Drifting is a danger I think we all face. Every single one of us, we all face, because we live in a world that is tugging and vying for our attention, that the risk of drifting away is always there. That's why we have to pay careful attention. I drift, particularly when I neglect the things I'm supposed to be doing. The cause of drifting is neglect. That's what happens. It is inadvertent. Is if you've ever steered a boat, if you've ever been on a boat, and you're the one that's driving the thing, if you just neglect your hands on the wheel, it drifts. If you have a car that is out of balance and you let go of the steering wheel, it drifts. What is that a result of? Neglect. There is always a cause of drifting when I neglect the most important things. It doesn't take an act of rebellion or defiance against God to drift. It's simply neglect of what's important and what we're supposed to do. Matthew 22 talks about this. It's a parable that Jesus told about the king who invited guests to his son's wedding party. They paid no attention and went their way, one to his farm, another to his business, is what it said. It said they said no to the invitation. There's nothing sinful about farms or about your businesses unless they cause you to neglect the invitation of Jesus. And then they become a problem. When I neglect the best thing for a good thing, and I make that thing a God thing when it's not supposed to be a God thing, it can be the idol in my life that causes me to drift away. This is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. You're at a crossroads where you could drift away. Pay careful attention. You got to be a person that is attentive. That's why the Bible always talks about being sober-minded. We think it has something to do with alcohol. It doesn't. To be sober-minded means I am attentive with what's happening in front of me. This is what he's saying to the people in Hebrews. Be careful so that you don't drift away. And if there's a message for us as we begin summers where a lot of us are drifting away, vacations. Oh, it's so nice outside. Church can be third today. It's so nice. Let's just stay outside and drift away. Right? We seem to take a lot of breaks. This is the opportunity. We must not become people that are not paying attention. The antidote for drifting is paying attention. We have to pay attention. We must, he said. I think marriage is awesome. Come on, somebody. Hello. It's only been a month since we did the marriage thing. If your wife just spoke to you, guys, come on. I think marriage is incredible. I think it's one of the greatest gifts that God gave us. Woo-hoo! Amen. All right, now you're just being cheesy. Like that picture. But if I just, on June 21st, 1997, the first day of summer, actually my sister picked that day, I don't know if you remember that, but June 21st, 1997, because I wanted to be the first day of summer so I wouldn't forget. But it's not really me that forgets. It's my wife that forgets because I have, like, that memory, dates and stuff like that. But June 21st, 1997, the day that we got married, if that day is only about how much we're in love and not today the same amount, then we're drifting apart. Right? If I don't continue to pay attention, come on, guys. Be intentional, then my marriage can drift away, usually with good things. Your business, again, is a good thing, but when you put it in front of your marriage, now your business is not where it's supposed to be. We talk about that with the wheel. I have to pay attention to the good things so that I don't drift away. It's no different in my relationship with Christ. And this is the most important thing that he's asking us to do as people who are about to go into a season where it's real easy to drift away. It's very easy to stay unconnected. It's very easy to just become people that don't pay attention. The antidote is we have to be people that pay attention. Hebrews 10:36 also says this, "For you have need of patient endurance." I love that, patient endurance. "So that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised." Here's what he's saying. You have to be people that endure the times where it's very easy to drift away. And not just endure, but be patient while you're doing it. And if that's a cuss word for anybody else, you know how difficult it is. And there's people in this room, you have to pay attention more, because enduring and being patient is not our MO. That's me. That's difficult. What is he saying later on in Hebrews? He's saying, listen, you're going to be in situations where it'll be real easy for you to just throw in the towel. He's saying, endure. There's going to be situations where it's real easy for you to say, I can't do this anymore, and throw it in. He's saying, don't do that. Be patiently enduring what you're going through, because what is promised in the end is going to be awesome. That's what he's saying. We have to remember this. There's five quick things, and then I'm done. And the band's going to come up, that I think we need to remember this summer as we're about to be scattered. I'm not the guy that pretends this isn't happening. We're about to be scattered. There's people on vacations, people that are taking time off. We just have to remember these five quick things. Wherever you are, make sure it's the right place. Remember that. Wherever you are, make sure it's the right place. Wherever you are, be there. Be there. Wherever it is that you are, make sure you're there. Not just physically, mentally you're there. Make sure you're there. We have to do this. Colossians says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you're working for God and not man. Amen. He's saying, whatever it is that you're doing, that just trumps the mindset of, well, that's not what I'm called to do. He said, whatever it is that you do, wherever it is that you are, make sure you're there. Because listen, here's the hardest reality. We go to work and we come home and physically we're there, but we're not there. And your kids and my kids, they're noticing. Right? Wherever you are, be there. As if you're working not to get a paycheck, but for the Lord himself. That's what it's saying. He says, wherever you are, be happy. Don't be that guy. That you're there, but you're grumpy. And they're telling me I'm a grumpy old man now. They can say old, apparently. Something happens from 4th to 5th. June 5th. I feel the same. I'm good. Wherever you are, be happy. Be full of joy. Philippians says that, Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why again? Because we don't get it. I gotta say it again. Wherever you are, be a person of joy. Be a person that rejoices. Be a person that's happy, because happiness is contagious. Wherever you are, whether it's on a beach, come on, somebody. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Hey, there's no beach in Boise. Just throwing that out there. Sorry to be that. Wherever you are, guard your thoughts and your words. Man, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Wherever you are, you have the opportunity to speak life or to speak death. Guard your thoughts. Guard your words wherever you are. Here's what it is. He's telling the group in Hebrews, he's telling this culture that is dying for their faith and trying to go back. He's telling them, hey, listen, you're in a spot where you can really make a difference. You're in a spot where you can really say some incredible things into the situation. And here's what it all comes down to. You have to be intentional to be a person that guards your thoughts and your words. It's all about intentionality. I got to set goals of being intentional that where I'm about to go in, what I'm about to do, is I have to be intentional on guarding my thoughts and guarding my words. If I'm not intentional, then I drift away. When I'm not intentional, when I'm not setting goals, all of a sudden I'm out in the middle of the water and I'm going, how did I get here? Here's how you got here. You did not guard your thoughts. You did not guard your words. And now you're flying off the handle over something that's really not that big of a deal, that we're making a big deal. That's the thing I say to the graduates. High school drama is now over. It's over. No more drama. Now it's college drama. It's totally different. Just now you're on your own. Matthew 12. But I tell you that men will give an account. Of what? What am I giving an account of? Every idle word. That word idle is also careless. Careless word that I have ever spoken. What's a careless word? One that I did not intentionally think about. I let whatever's in my heart just come out. When that happens, and you know the mood that you're in for that to happen. You know that. You know what I learned a long time ago, and I'm not great at it. I know it. But that I have to unpack before I go home. I have to unpack what's happened to me during the day when I go home. I said this to Pastor Sean this last week. Listen, I love meeting with people. I love hearing what was going on in people's lives. But the reality is that's overwhelming sometimes. That's our reality. That's overwhelming. Because now I'm carrying something. You do the same thing in the relationship you have. Now you're carrying something that somebody else is going through, and that's a lot to carry. It's overwhelming. And if I don't unpack before I go home, I'm now carrying that in, and I'm taking it out on a certain 13-year-old. Oh, it's too specific. I'm taking it out on one of my kids. And they had nothing to do with it because we tend to hurt the people in our lives and nothing to do with it. All because we did not unpack the things that we carried throughout the day. I have to be intentional on guarding my words and guarding my thoughts. I have to do that. And if I'm not intentional, I have careless words that I'm going to be judged for. We're going to be judged for. Last thing. And when I say last thing, Pastor Sean, I mean last thing. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. Wherever you are, reflect Jesus to whoever it is that you're with. I think this is the thing that we have to keep in mind wherever we are. How am I reflecting Jesus to the people that I'm with? 2 Corinthians says it this way. And all of us. Who?
All of us.
Your excuse is without merit right now. All of us have had the veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. Think about this. We are a reflection of where we're putting our time, where we're putting our money, where we're putting our gifts, where we're spending our lives, we are a reflection of. And if you don't like what you're seeing in the mirror, it's because you're spending less and less time with Jesus and maybe more and more time with the things that you're concerned with. I reflect who I'm with. He says, the writer, Paul, to the Corinthian church, as we have become more aware, we become mirrors that reflect who Jesus is. Wherever you are, make sure that we are a reflection of Jesus to the people that we are around. And that does not just mean on mission trips. It does not just mean when you're downtown feeding the homeless. It does not mean when you're at just a family reunion. Does it mean those areas? Absolutely. But the people at Costco and the people at Sam's and the people at the gas station, they need to see a reflection of Jesus as well. So wherever you are this summer, the next couple weeks, wherever it is that you are, Make sure that we're being this to people. Because the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, if we aren't intentional, we have a good opportunity where we're drifting away. My prayer for us as a church, as you individually, is that this is not a summer of drifting. And I'm not just talking about your church attendance. I'm talking about your devotional life. I'm talking about your prayer time. I'm talking about the commitments that you made a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, where you said, God, I'm going to be a person that prays. I'm going to be a person that fasts. I'm asking that we don't drift from that. You're inevitably not going to be at church. Based on schedules and all that, I'm not asking you to have perfect attendance. Maybe we should give an award for that, though. It'd be kind of cool. Maybe make it, like, really nice. Board members, can I get a motion? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. I'm just asking wherever you are to be there, right? Would you stand with me today? So many people in this room, that know me well. They've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think that's life. That you're gonna have moments, and they're not gonna be great moments. They're gonna be embarrassing. But the call is still to do life together. The call is still to get to know one another. And as I was reflecting about graduates and, you know, I started coaching at Columbia, the seniors that are graduating this year, their first year, we went into high school together. I partly say that because it makes me feel younger, you know? We went to high school together, you know? So this was a special class. As I know, the senior class at Columbia was special all across the board. But as I reflected and thought about that class, I thought, you know what? That's what we're called to do. Life together. The good, the bad, the ugly, the messy. It doesn't change that. That's what we're supposed to do. So don't be afraid to make mistakes. Can you hear me say that? Don't be afraid to make mistakes. I'm asking you to stand strong, to keep going, to persevere. The message of Hebrews is persevere. Right. Keep going. Life is going to throw you some craziness. Keep going. You're going to hear some things that God says you to do, and if you're not in position to move on that, it's going to freak you out. God says, keep moving forward. Keep going. This is my prayer for us, is that we're as a church, maybe this last week you've been hit with something. Oh, we've been praying for the Boyers, the youth pastors at Hope. Listen, we've been rocked by their five-year-old daughter, and the word cancer with a child is so difficult. I know it's difficult all across the board, but with a five-year-old, guys, that's so tough. You're gonna be rocked by life. Keep going. Keep moving. Keep persevering. Right? That's the message. Keep going. As you dive into Hebrews, you're going to see that perseverance. And if, listen, I'm not comparing us, but if they can persevere with their life on the line, I think we can do it. We can do it. God, I pray today. God, I pray first for Josh, his family, his daughter, Lydia. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, first and foremost, that you would heal this five-year-old girl. God, I don't know why things like this happen, but I know that we can trust you. And I know that you're their peace and you're their strength right now. So I pray for them. I pray for the Hope Church, for the people that are there, the staff that are there, that are being affected. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd be with that staff, that this church would grow stronger. This church would be strengthened. by what's going on, God. I pray for the people, the men and women that are in this room that maybe they've thought about giving up. Maybe they've thought about throwing in the towel. I pray in the name of Jesus that they are encouraged today, strengthened today to keep moving. Keep going forward. God, ultimately, we give you our lives. And say, God, do whatever you want. We trust you. We trust you. Guys, during this song, which just simply says, you can have it all. Simple lyrics. Just a couple minutes as we sing this song. Here's my prayer for us. Is that we are committing as men and women on June 5th, 2016, that we're committing and we're saying, God, here's my life. I'm giving you my life. Do whatever it is that you want. Because wherever I am, God, I want to be there. I want to trust you. Here's my life. Maybe it's repentance that needs to happen. Maybe right now you just need to go, God, here I am. God, forgive me for this. Maybe you need to go to somebody and say, hey, I'm asking you to forgive me because I've done some stupid things and I've recognized that and I need your forgiveness. Maybe you need to get out your phone, which you already have already, I'm sure, and text somebody. Maybe you need to call them later. Wherever you are, I'm going to say this as nice as I can. Deal with it. Stand strong. Keep going. Persevere. Get people around you to support you, to speak the truth in your life. But keep going. Amen? Amen. Guys, go ahead.
You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my